kind and full of grace, both righteous and compassionate is He. The Lord protects all those of childlike faith. When I was in great need, He rescued me. This afternoon, dear friends in Walsall, once again, to testify, bring testimony to the grace and salvation that is to be found in our Lord Jesus Christ, to lift Him up before you, and to tell you of the great testimony that God Himself has given to us concerning His Son Jesus, His Holy Child Jesus even. You would like to read that testimony, God's Word, the New Testament, in its entirety, is offered to you quite freely, no cost, no obligation to you. You're simply for the taking. Read, study, meditate upon God's Word. Who knows, but maybe He'll make peace with you and grant you peace within. Grant you the gift of faith. Grant that you may, even today with our being here testifying, that you may begin to call upon the name of the Lord. Oh, that men would pray, the Bible says in one place. Oh, that you would call, if you will call, He says. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will answer. What's your trouble? What's your fear? What's your worries, your concerns today? For goodness sake, my friends, there's a God in heaven who sent His Son in care and compassion and mercy, who sent His Son Jesus into the world in order that you might have peace with God and the peace of God that passeth all understanding, filling, flooding your hearts and minds with the knowledge of God's forgiveness, with the knowledge that you're right with God and right with heaven and right for eternity. To know that you have a sovereign protector who protects those of a childlike faith. That's what's all that's required of you, a childlike faith. Except you become as children, childlike trust. Except you become as children and be converted, says Jesus, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of God. So may God grant you today, in answer to our prayers, may God grant to you the faith. May God grant to you the will, the grace, to begin to call upon His name, to seek Him while He may be found, to call upon Him while He is near. That maybe, who knows, that for the rest of your days, you will be rejoicing as you reflect upon and as you think upon this day, and that you might be saying all your days, this was the day that the Lord made and gave me salvation. Oh, my friends, I pray that for you today, this will be a day of salvation, a day of grace, a day of entering into the favor, the undeserved, the unmerited favor of the Lord, simply receiving that which God sets forth before you, His Son set forth to be a propitiation, the means, that is, of removing God's displeasure from you. Jesus, we set forth before you today that you might call upon His name, that you might believe upon His name, and that you might be saved. Well, King David in the book of Psalms, whom we love very much because, well, he was a man after our own heart. He was a warrior. He was a soldier of Jesus Christ and for Jesus Christ. He was a righteous, a godly man. He speaks about the ungodly. He says, they shall not stand in the judgment. He says, the ungodly shall perish in the way. But the righteous, those who are righteous, as David was righteous, not in and of himself, nothing to do with him, a righteousness that was credit to him, a righteousness that was given to him, the righteousness of God revealed in the gospel, you see. He did the very thing that I'm telling you to do today. He believed on Jesus, and Jesus counted that for his righteousness. That's all you need, you know. You don't need all this nonsense of religion. All these clothes that you wear, you know, and all these things that you do in your religious establishments. I don't know what you do. I don't want to know. But you're in bondage. Bondage. God doesn't require you to be religious. He requires you to believe. That's all. Believe, and he will credit you with a perfect righteousness. And you will be right with God for time and for eternity. That's all he requires of you. Faith. Believe. Only believe, says Jesus. If thou canst believe, all things, even your salvation today, is possible if you will, if you can believe. So that's the question, my friends. Brother, going back to King David, he says in Psalm 19, if you want to check it out, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utter his speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Can you hear? Can you hear the voice of God in creation? Can you hear the voice of God in the birds as they sing in the morning? As the lion roars in the wilderness, can you hear the voice of the lion of the tribe of Judah? Oh, my friends, his voice is to be heard, his speech is uttered in all creation. And there are some people whom David calls fools. He doesn't call them atheists. Doesn't call them atheists, he calls them fools. He says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Don't be calling yourself an atheist. Call yourself what you are. If you don't believe, if you say in your heart there's no God, call yourself a fool. That's what you are, God says. When you subscribe to such a foolish notion, the heavens declare the glory of God. And then in verse 7 he says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The word of God, my friends, the two means by which God makes himself known to you. Creation, all the things that God has made. The heavens declare his glory. His name is written large over everything that you see, even your very own being. But he has made himself more clearly and fully known in the revelation of his holy and divine word. The holy scriptures, these are they, says Jesus, which testify of me. Testify, my friends, of his, how he would come. Why he would come, and what he would do when he came, and why he would do it. How would he come? Testified Isaiah the prophet, says, chapter 9, check it out, chapter 8, check it out. Made of a woman, made under the law, born of a virgin, my friends. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. God stepped down into your sin-cursed world, my friends, in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. Why? Thou shalt call his name Jesus. For, why? For he shall save his people from their sins. Because nobody else but God can save you from your sins. He had to come himself. That's why he came. And how? By dying on a cross, taking upon himself the penalty, the punishment, the wages of sin that's due to you, he took upon himself on the cross in order that you might be forgiven, in order that your faith in His name, my friends, that you might be cleared in the court of heaven, exonerated, credited with righteousness, a perfect righteousness, and rising again from the dead. All foretold, my friends, in the Old Testament of the Bible. All foretold by the prophets long, long ago. And just as they declared, just as they spoke, so God performed, accomplished what He said concerning His Son, Jesus Christ. So you see, my friends, you are without excuses, God. The very things that God has made leave you without excuse. They testify, they declare, the heavens declare the glory of God. Oh, my friends, all creation declares the glory of God. And my friends, testifies to the power and the divinity of your Maker, God Almighty. My friends, you are without excuse. Even just without this most elegant book, God's creation, leaves you without excuse.
God bless you,
Mike. Oh, my dear, thank you very much. Thank you. Phil? That's going to be melted by the time I finish. You have it. Enjoy it. So you see, creation is like a most elegant book. Like a most elegant book, my friends. And it speaks volumes, you know. When you're to read God's works of creation, nature as you call it, were you to examine it, were you to listen, were you to get yourself quiet, silent, my friends, you would perhaps hear His speech. In all creation, the heavens declare the glory of God. The most elegant book speaks of God's creation. How that God made all things by the word of His power. Guess what, my friends? Guess what? It didn't evolve. What a load of nonsense, eh? A fairy tale for adults. Evolution. Taught in your schools, taught in your homes, and taught in some of your churches even now. What a mess. What a load of tripe and nonsense. And so here you are. They've made fools out of you. They've deceived you. They've deluded you. They've made fools out of you. Because now you testify. Now you say there is no God. Well, says David, it's the fool who says in his heart there is no God. So your school teachers and your parents who have taught you this rubbish and nonsense of evolution, they've made fools out of you. And you walk about in God's world, drinking His water, breathing His air, walking on His planet, under His wrath, under His holy displeasure, because other people have made fools of you. Well, away with such foolish nonsense. And look at the Creator. Look at yourself. In God you live and move and have your being. You can't even have a meaningful thought if there was no God. You wouldn't be breathing if there was no God. In Him you live. He holds your life in the palm of His hand. Your very next breath is His to give and His to take away. Call you out of this world, my friends, then you stand before Him in judgment. In Him you live and move. Where do you get motion from? Where do you get laws from, my friends? Where do you get the law of gravity from? Where do you get the law of love from? Chemistry, mathematics. Where do you get these laws from? Laws don't come from matter, my friends. Laws come from an intelligent mind, and that mind is the mind of God. That's where they came from. Same place as you came from. Made, my friends, made by God, created. Everything in creation testifies and speaks, my friends, of the Almighty of God, who sent His Son into the world that through Him you might be reconciled to Him. One with Him, together with God, living in the same house, friends, friends. friendship, a familial relationship brought into his family. How? By faith and faith alone. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You must diligently seek after him. Call upon his name. Get on your knees and pray like you never did before. And even if you never have before, get on your knees and cry out to God. Open my eyes and enable me to see what I've never seen before. To hear your voice, to hear your speech in all creation. Relieve me of this foolishness that has entrapped me. Creation, my friends, declares the glory of God, the preservation of it. How do you think all these things hold together? Huh? Who's this? What's this thing called evolution? Huh? That puts all these planets in order, the moon at night, the sun by day, and everything, the world keeps rotating on its axis. Who do you think it is that keeps it all together, that preserves it from one day to the next? It's a preservation order that's been set upon it by the Almighty. What you call, you know, what you call happenstance, you know, is God's preservation. God's providence is called, you see. He made everything and he cares for everything. He cares for the human race. He preserves it, my friends, and will preserve it until the end, until that day of judgment. But my friends, the one who preserves it, the Bible says, the one who upholds it all, sustains it all, is none other than Jesus Christ, whom we declare to you today. The one who would save you, the one who would reconcile you to God, the one who would make peace between you and God, the one who would rescue you from your worst enemy, your own sin, the one who would rescue you, give you peace with God, and bring you into the family of God. To as many as receive him, Jesus that is, to those that believe on his name, he gives the power. Oh, the power, the authority to become a child of God instead of a child of wrath. Oh, my dear friends, the creation declares the glory of God. The preservation of God's creation declares the glory of God. It's as plain as a pike staff. It's as plain as the nose on your face, man. What's the matter with you all? They've made fools out of you. They've deceived you. They've deluded you with this nonsense, utter nonsense and rubbish of evolution. My friends, get your heads right. Get your head into the Bible. Get your head into God's Word and get educated properly. And see, behold the glory of God. In the heavens, in all creation, and in the preservation of it, and in the government of it. Who do you think governs it, my friends? None other than Jesus Christ. He's the governor of all the universe, my friends. His counsel stands, you know. The Bible says there's none can question him. You know, there's none can gainsay him. You can maybe come to me with arguments, and maybe you could gainsay me. I don't think that would be too hard a thing to do, but my friends, you'll never gainsay God. You'll never disannul his counsel, my friends. It shall stand. Everything that he has decreed, everything, my friends, that he has spoken will come to pass. He's the governor. He's the governor of the universe, of the human race. And he rules and reigns over you. Chance whether you like it or not, and chance whether you believe it or not. And the day is coming, my friend, when you're going to stand before the governor. The governor of all the earth, you're going to stand before him and you're going to give account for all your misdeeds, for all your sins, all your iniquities, for all your foolishness in believing a lie such as evolution. Or false religion even. Well, I had my own religion. Now what you say today, my colleague offers you a piece of literature and you say, I've got my own religion, thank you very much. False religion, damnable religion, damnable heresies that you embrace, that you subscribe to, and then that day when God judges you, my friends, that will be no excuse. That will be no get out clause. Well, my teachers, the science teacher, she taught me that evolution was true. You believed a lie, and you will be held accountable. You'll be held responsible for believing the lie that the science teacher fed you. You'll give account for believing the lie and living out of the lie and propagating the lie to others, to your children and your grandchildren. The heavens declare the glory of God. And my friends, they ought to lead you to contemplate the heavens, to contemplate all of God's creation. Because there's enough there, my friends, in creation alone. Without the Bible, there's enough there in all of God's creation to convince anybody, persuade anybody to seek God while he yet may be found. Oh, today, my friends, seek ye the Lord. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked, the unbelieving, the ungodly, the unrighteous, the unholy, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. And let the wicked forsake his way, ungodly, unbelieving way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, wrong thoughts contrary to God's word, thoughts contrary to God's character and holy will. Oh, my friends, forsake them. Forsake them and turn to him through the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we declare here today amongst you, in order that you might receive his abundant mercy. Be pardoned, that is, for your sins and transgressions, and reconciled to God and brought into the family of God, sir. Freely purchased for sinners by Jesus Christ, the one whom he set before you today, crucified, dead and buried, and raised again from the dead, in order that you might be brought into the family of God, a child of God instead of a child of the devil, instead of a child of wrath, a child of God, a member of God's family, all paid up for you by Jesus Christ, by his shedding his blood on the cross. He paid the price in full, don't you know? He paid the price in full for fools to be made wise, for the simple to be made wise, brought to their right minds, and sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in their right minds, and sitting at the feet of the Son of God, and learning of him, learning what it means to repent, learning what it means to believe, learning what it means to serve and to glorify God. That's the very thing for which you were made. That's the very thing for which you were placed on this planet. And the way, my friends, the way, there is but one way. And Jesus Christ says, I am the way, and there is no other. But then, my friends, as well as the most elegant book, we have the infallible book. And the law of the Lord is perfect, utterly and absolutely perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple, says King David. Oh, the law of the Lord, my friends, the word word of God, it wasn't delivered, it didn't come to us from men. That's what some of you will tell me. Oh, it's a book written by men. No, my friends, it was a book that God produced through men, inspired them to write what they wrote. They were born along, as it were, by the Spirit of God to write the things that they wrote, so that what they wrote was the Word of God. Not their own testimony, not their own word, but the law itself, my friends, the Ten Commandments, were written themselves by the finger of God. And so the Word of God that we offer to you today, present you with today, my friends, it's a sure word. It's a sure word of prophecy. It's a certain word. It's a perfect word. It's a flawless word. It's a word in which you can put your trust emphatically for your soul, for your well-being in this world and in the world to come. Why don't you take a copy of God's Word and read it for yourself and see that what I tell you is true. It's called the Holy Bible. It's called the Holy Scriptures. Why? Because they come to you from a holy God. The God who is described in the Bible as the thrice holy God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And my friends, He's of purer eyes than to behold the evil. Your righteousness is there is filthy rags, says God in His sight. No, my friends, it's a holy book. It's a holy and divine book because it comes to you from a holy, holy, holy God. And so it's no wonder that it's perfect. It's no wonder, my friends, that it's sure. Because it comes from God Himself, the God who cannot lie. You see, my friends, there are some things God cannot do. He cannot lie. And so when He speaks to you in His Word, in the Bible, my friends, you have the truth of God. The 10 words, my friends. The 10 commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. This is what sin is, my friends. Transgression of the law. Transgression of the commandments of God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Disallows you imagining, you know, some other God like Allah. Or the gods, you know, the gods of Hinduism. Or of Buddhism, of the Watchtower Society. No other gods, he says, but me, the living and true God, the God of the Bible, the God and Father of my Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt not kill, my friends, by means of abortion. How many does Walsall own today, I wonder? How many kills? How many murders in the name of abortion? According to your World Health Organization, in a space of one year, the world over, 56 million children murdered in the name of abortion. It's murder, my friends. It's murder. It's against the holy commandment of God. Thou shalt not kill. By murder, euthanasia, taking life illegally, taking life that's not yours to take, because life is given by God. It's His to give, and it's His to take away, not yours. Not mine, not anybody else's. So you see, my friends, the commandments of God, oh, they're pure. They're pure, but I tell you, these pure commandments, what they do is they convict the likes of you and I. They make you smart. Why? Because, well, you subscribe to the notion of abortion. And so when you hear the words, when God says, thou shalt not kill, it makes your conscience smart. And rightly so. When you hear the words, thou shalt not commit adultery, you know, And you've been messing with somebody else's wife or husband. You've been sleeping around. Or maybe married and divorced, you know, several times over. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Yes, it'll make your conscience smart, and rightly so, because that's what the law's given for. It's a schoolmaster to educate you as to what kind of a sinner it is that you are. Because until you come to the knowledge of sin, and the knowledge of sin comes by the law, but until you come to a knowledge of your sin and taste the bitterness of your sin and feel the condemnation of your sin, you're never going to abandon it. You're never going to leave it. You're never going to turn to the only one who can forgive you, who can forgive you, who can pardon you, who can clear you before the court of heaven, who can credit you with righteousness through faith in His name. The law was given, my friends, to convict you, to condemn you thoroughly and utterly, to show you your depravity to the utmost and send you to Jesus. Not Muhammad, not Allah, not the Watchtower Society, not Buddha, not Confucius, not the Pope of Rome, but to send you to Jesus, the only mediator between God and man, the only one who can bring you back to God, the only one who can reconcile you to the Almighty, to your Creator, the only one, my friends, who can bring the forgiveness and the pardon of God to you. So you see, my friends, it's a sure testimony. Testifies to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is the end of the law. He's the goal of the law. The law was given to us, my friends, to send us, to point us to God's Lamb. The Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And would take away your sin today, should you but trust in Him. Should you but believe on His name. Your sin would be removed. Far, far away, as far as the east is from the west. Your sin blotted out, remembered no more by God. Forgotten, my friends, deliberately and willfully forgotten. In order, my friends, that you might have peace with God and know the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Through Jesus, not through the law. It's not what the law was given for. Jesus, the end of the law, the goal of the law, the purpose of the law, the commandments of God, my friends, to condemn you and to convict you and send you to Jesus in order that you might be forgiven, in order that you might be pardoned, in order that when you breathe your last and go out of this world, that you might go to heaven, as opposed, that is, to hell. So you see, we have an elegant book, all God's creation, that declares the glory of God, the infallible book, the more clear and full means by which God makes Himself known to men. And my friends, we have an incorruptible word. Oh, the word of God. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Makes the wise. Makes the wise simple. Makes them humble, you see. Brings us down. That's the purpose of the law. To bring us down from our high perch, you know. Our human pride. You know, to bring us down. To humble us under the mighty hand of God. Because unless you do, my friends, unless you're cleared of this notion you know, that you're okay, that you're a good person, that God couldn't possibly have anything against you, my friends. To take your self-righteousness, which we all be full of, self-righteousness, my friends, which is an abomination to God, to take your self-righteousness and to shred it, my friends, and show you and reveal to you that you've got nothing, absolutely nothing, to offer to God. And no means by which you can be accepted by God. That you need the righteousness of another. That you need the righteousness of God revealed in the gospel of His Son, Jesus Christ. And my friends, with that humility brought down from your high perch of human pride, brought down to the dust before the cross of God's Son, Jesus Christ, brought to a realization of your greatest and of your deepest need, my friends, of faith in the Son of God who loved sinners and gave Himself for them. It's the entrance, says David, it's the entrance of God's Word. That's why we come to you with God's Word. That's why I hold the Bible in my hand, God's Word. That's why we offer you copies of God's Word to take away and read for yourself. Because the entrance of God's Word, unless you get God's Word into you, you have no light, no understanding. But it's the entrance of God's Word that gives light to men and women. Gives them understanding. Shifts, removes the darkness of sin and unbelief and illuminates the mind to see and to behold the reality of God, of His Son Jesus Christ, of your sin and your need, my friends, your need of God's salvation. The Word of God, the law of the Lord, is perfect, it's sure, it gives understanding, it's persuasive. It can persuade you in a way that I can't. More powerful than my word, the incorruptible Word of God that is able, was the Word of God that called into being what was not. The entirety of God's creation, the shows the glory of God. And that be, my dear friends, it's the incorruptible Word of God in all its power, divine power, my friends, that calls men and women out of sin and death and hell and into life everlasting and righteousness. Only the Word of God can accomplish this. The incorruptible seed of God's Word that we are here to sow amongst you in your hearts today. That God's Word might have entrance into your heart and perform this miracle of miracles that only God can perform, and that is, my friends, to cause you to be born again, because you must be. Jesus said, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Never mind enter into it. But through, my friends, the incorruptible seed of God's Word, it's the means that God uses to bring about this miracle of grace, my friends. The sovereign, free, and particular grace of God that brings salvation, that brings life from the dead, that brings into being what was not there. Life eternal, life everlasting, the assurance of eternal life. And a man, a woman, made ready, sincerely willing, and ready to live unto God. My friends, until this miracle of miracles takes place in your heart, in your life, in your innermost being, until you've been born again. I see people look at my sign and I hear them reading it. What on earth does it mean? How can a person be born again? Well, a religious man in the Bible asked that question of Jesus. It not cost him as well. My friends, it's a miracle. It's a miracle by which God comes to a person through the preaching of the gospel, through the sowing of the incorruptible seed of God's word. God plants the soul in the heart and the mind of a person, you see, and God breathes upon it, and God brings it to fruition. And God brings forth, you see, this miracle, my friends, of miracle. A soul, a man, a woman born again to eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. He was born Lord and Christ. So it's persuasive, you see. It can do what I can do. It can do what my words cannot do. It's God's word. It's powerful. It's dynamite, my friends, to shake you, to move you out of your sin and out of your sin nature and into, my friends, the kingdom of God and His righteousness. But it's perfectly reasonable. God says in His word, come now, saith the Lord, and let us reason together. God made you a rational creature, and He bids you come to Him. Come to His Word and use that faculty of rationality that God's given to you. And read His Word and see, my friends, that His Word makes perfectly plain sense. That He's God, He's your Maker, that the heavens declare His glory, that you're a sinner, depraved, lost, ruined, undone, and facing the judgment of God. And that God, in His loving kindness and great mercy, sent His Son Jesus into the world to be a mediator, to be a savior, to rescue you from that sinful condition. My friends, it's perfectly rational. A child could get it. Problem is, most of you here are adults, and that's your problem. A childlike faith. God blesses and God protects those of a childlike faith. But unless you have a childlike faith and be converted, says Jesus, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of God. You have to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And you have to adopt, you have to take on board the childlike faith and trust God, take Him at His word. If you will, you can have peace, you can have salvation. If you will do what He tells you to do, peace could be yours today. Whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. His mother said one day, do it, my friends. What does He tell you to do? Believe. Only believe. Trust in God. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Faith, my friends, a childlike faith, that's what's required of you. And the moment that childlike faith kicks in, God's command is righteousness. Righteousness declares the sinner to be righteous for time and for eternity, never to be lost again. The heavens declare the glory of God. Behold Him in all creation. Pick up the Bible. Take God's word, my friend. Where He is more fully and clearly made known. Where He speaks to you out of heaven. His voice in Holy Scripture in His word, my friends. Who knows, but maybe He will speak peace to your soul. Who knows, but maybe He'll issue the decree, forgiven. Nobody but the Son of Man has authority, has the power to say to any sinner, your sins be forgiven thee. Only Jesus. No pope, no priest, no religious guru. Only Jesus has the power, divine power, to say to you today, your sins are forgiven. You've not heard His voice. You've not heard those words of absolution from the lips of Jesus. You're still in your sin. And He says, if you die in that state and condition, if you do not believe that He is Jesus Christ, the mighty Savior, the Son of God, you will die in your sin. You will perish along with the ungodly. You will not stand in the judgment along with the ungodly. If you remain a fool, believing that there is no God, when the evidence is before you in all creation and in God's Word offered to you today, you will perish in your sin. We do not wish that for anybody in Walsall today. Our desire is that you should be saved. Our desire is that you should be today reconciled to God. Our desire is that today maybe you would begin to call upon the name of the Lord. Whatever your trouble is, whatever your anxiety, whatever your concerns, whatever the stresses of life brings upon you, call upon me in the day of trouble and I will answer you, He says. Oh, call. Oh, that you would call upon the name of the Lord. You would be saved. Call today, my friends, upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Cry out to Him, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. My friends, the Word of God, a sure testimony. Repent, ye, says Jesus. Repent, ye, turn around, that is. Your way, your foolish ways. Abandon them, forsake them. Turn from them. Turn from them, He says, forsake them. That's what the word repent means. Repent ye, all of you, and believe the gospel. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Doesn't come more clear or more plainly than that, my friend. But that's what's required of you today. Commanded by the sovereign creator, preserver, and governor of the universe and everything in it. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Walsall, repent ye and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. You'd like to have a copy of God's word. Look into this incorruptible, into this infallible book that God has given us. Breathed out Himself. Read, study, meditate upon it, my friends. And who knows, with our praying for you and your reading, meditating upon the Word of God, who knows, but maybe faith, maybe peace will come to you if you keep, if you fix your mind upon Him, upon Jesus. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace that trusteth in thee. Trust in the Lord, and the Lord Jehovah Jesus, the Son of God that loves sinners and gave himself for them, even for fools, young man, even for fools such as you. Dear, 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 dear. You'd like a copy of God's Word, do feel free to come and ask for one. Gladly place into your hands, no cost and no obligation to you. You'd like one? Come and ask for one. May God bless you and have mercy upon your precious, precious, never dying souls.
I found it.
Awesome.